And now, in honor of Mother's Day, we offer you this reading from Tucson novelist Lydia Millett.
Love in Infant Monkeys. Harry Harlow had a general hypothesis. Mothers are useful, in scientific terms. They have an intrinsic value, even beyond their breast milk. Call it their company. In this hypothesis, he was bucking a trend in American psychology. For decades, experts on parenting had been advising mothers to show their children as little affection as possible. Too much affection was coddling, and coddling weakened a child. "When you are tempted to pet your child," said a president of the American Psychological Association in a speech, "remember that mother love is a dangerous instrument." This school of thought ran counter to what was believed by those not indebted for their child-rearing strategies to a rigorously monitored testing process. But it was dominant in the scholarship. To refute it, Harlow decided, the value of love would have to be demonstrated in a controlled experimental setting. He worked long hours, seldom leaving his laboratory. With his experiments, he made a name for himself, appearing on television programs and traveling the country on speaking engagements. He was seen as a rebel and an iconoclast. He spoke boldly of mother love, calling it contact comfort. He stressed its value to emotional health. But he spoke harshly of his test subjects. "The only thing I care about is whether a monkey will turn out a property I can publish," he said. "I don't have any love for them. I never have. How could you love a monkey?" To know how love works, a scientist must study its absence. This is simple scientific method. Harry admitted it. The suffering of lesser beings is often the price of knowledge. As he put it, "If my work will save only 1 million human children, I can't get overly concerned about 10 monkeys. One way to prove the hypothesis was to take a newborn monkey away from its mother and never give it back. Put it in a bare box. Observe it. Anxiety first, shown in trembling and shaking. Then come the screams. Watch it huddle, small limbs clutching. Make careful notations. Next, construct a wire mannequin that holds a milk bottle. See if the baby thinks the mannequin is its mother. When it does not think so, give it a mannequin draped with terry cloth, but no milk. See it cling to this milkless cloth mannequin. Repeat experiment with numerous infants. Make notations. Second, place infant monkeys in isolation, with neither monkey nor human contact, save the sight of the researcher's hands entering the box to change bedding or food. Leave them there for 30 days. Make careful notations. When the infants are removed, watch two among them starve themselves till they expire. Notations. Repeat with longer isolation periods. First 6 months, then a year. If necessary, force feed upon removal from box. Observe. If left in boxes for 12 months, infants will no longer move. Only life signs, pulse, and respiration. Upon removal from box, such damaged infants may have to be re-isolated for the duration of their short lives. Notations. Third, attempt to breed the isolate monkeys to produce needed new experimental subjects. When the monkeys show no inclination to mate, inseminate the females. Observe the birth of infants. Observe that the longest isolated mothers kill infants by chewing off fingers and toes or crushing heads with their teeth. Notations. Fourth, create bad mother surrogates, mothers with spikes, mothers that blast cold wind. Put baby monkeys on them. Observe. Time after time, baby monkeys return. Bad mother is better than none. In Harry Harlow's nightmare, which he'd had in other forms before, he stood beside his beautiful boxes, the boxes of his own design, the boxes that B.F. Skinner himself had admired. He mistook each infant monkey for a beloved soul. In that way, the nightmare was confusing. He saw each infant in the heart of its mother, precious, unique, held so close because the mother was willing to die for it. The mother in the dream knew what he was doing as he took the infant from her. She was fully aware of what was happening to her and her baby. It was as though she were being forced to watch the infant waste away, left alone in the box. Not for the length of its life, perhaps, but for the length of itself, until the self flew out and was forever gone. In his nightmare, it was always the mother monkey he faced, not the infants. The mother, with her wild, desperate eyes. He felt what he could think of only as her passion, like a heat emanating. The mother was crazy with love, mad with a singular devotion. All she wanted was the safety of her infant. She would chew off her feet for it. She would do anything. But she was trapped, simply trapped. He had put her in a cage, and the cage was too strong for her. When he took the baby from her arms, her panic rose so high it could rise no higher. If she knew how to beg, she would beg till the end of the world, scream until her throat split. Give me my baby back. He knew the feeling of loss that would last till she died. He knew it the way he knew a distant country. They had their own customs there.
That was author Lydia Millett. Her short story collection, Love in Infant Monkeys, was published by Soft Skull Press and was a finalist for the 2010 Pulitzer Prize for Fiction.